can see it on the internet. I didn't run to the stage. God drug me to the stage. I failed to answer the call to be a pastor for over 10 years. And God asked me every day for 10 years to pastor his church. He won't relent. He will not relent till he gets what he wants. So my advice to you is just give it to him to start with. It'll be a lot less painful. We are on Set a Course Part 2. If you missed Part 1, you can go back and see it on the internet. On our website or YouTube or I don't know, all that stuff. Or you can get a CD from the back. But before I get started, I want to welcome some guests. Our good friend Adam called yesterday and said, I'm coming and I'm bringing some guests. Well, his guest showed up, but he's not here. He's not feeling well, so let's pray first. First, let's pray for him. Father, we lift Adam before you. Touch his situation, Lord. Bring healing to his body. Bring strength to his body, Lord. Let it be an uncommon thing that it goes away so fast before he even notices it's gone. I thank you for touching him, God. I thank you for the heart that he had to bring guests. And I thank you, God, that the guests are here. And thank you for his beautiful wife who's here with us today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Our guests include Adam's mother. That's Beverly, right? All right, Beverly. Beverly was here visiting with us when she lived out of state many years ago. I'm going to guess 9, 10 years ago. Is that about right? About 9 or 10 years ago, they visited with us. And now she's moved to Sebring. So if you all would just be nice to her, maybe she'll come back more often. I don't know. And with them are their two friends, Karen and Dawn. It's not that I remembered, I have a cheat sheet. But if you come back 5 or 6 times, I will probably remember. It's the way it goes. And Ozzy is back. He's missed a few weeks, but he's back with us. Good to see Ozzy. Happy to see all of you. Welcome. Glad you're here. All those watching on social media, we welcome you. We know that it's been kind of dicey. Our camera gave way, but we now have a brand new camera. And they say it's much better than the first camera. So we will see. All right, set a course. Last week, and Nelson's back from Puerto Rico. Welcome home, brother. The things that just fly through my mind, right? Last week we talked about setting a course, which means to establish or to put into place a plan of action. There are two types of courses. The one God has for us and the one we take that satisfies our desires, the one that satisfies our flesh. I will give you a hint as to which one you're on. Ask yourself, am I challenged? We set a course, and when challenged, instead of rising to the challenge, we simply change the course. Some change the course so many times that they don't know where they are. As we saw last week, life is supposed to be difficult. After all, we live under a curse. It was extremely difficult to start my business. I face difficulty in finding employees. I've got to deal with all of their life problems as well as my own, which lead to why they can't make it to work or why they need to leave early. But it wasn't supposed to be easy. I face difficulty dealing with difficult people. Difficulty getting the supplies and the parts that are needed to complete the project. Difficulty when the parts are wrong or defective. Difficulty in collecting monies owed after a job is finished. I finished a job once and I called the client to get paid, and he told me he left for vacation an hour ago and he'd be back in 3 weeks. But yet I still had to pay the workers. And I wanted to quit hundreds of times. And I would get up in the middle of the night and I would go into the nursery and see my little girl sleeping and sit there and said, no, I have to stay the course. I stayed on course and prospered greatly. I created opportunity for others. I've been able to share God with many. We talked a lot last week about setting a course, but it's just as important to stay on the course that you've set. Now, we have to figure out for ourselves in our own life when it's time to change courses. Because even in setting a course, sometimes we have to change course. I built a vertical blind factory that was prosperous and doing well until the bottom of the vertical blind industry fell out, and I'm standing with a factory with no business. And I had to change courses. And I changed course and I converted that vertical blind factory into a furniture factory, even though I had no furniture business. But I trust God that if He leads me to do something, He's not leading me to drop me off a cliff. He's leading me to prosper me. But a lot of times what happens is we change course, but we want to keep one foot in the old course and one foot in the new course, and it doesn't work. You have to learn when to let go. Let's look at some scripture. Psalms 119, 1 through 8 says this. You are blessed. You're blessed when you stay on course. Church is one of the greatest images of people that don't stay on course. Now, I'm not saying that to put anybody down, because I've been there, done that, been to church, been out of church, been to church, been out of church. I played the game. I'm on course. I'm going to worship God. I'm going to do this. No, it's getting too hard. The people don't like me, and pastor doesn't like me. I could tell myself 80 things, and all of a sudden I don't go to church anymore. But God doesn't relent, and then all of a sudden, I'm pulled back into church. But the scripture says you're blessed when you stay on course. Walking steadily on the road revealed by God. You're blessed when you follow His directions, doing your best to find Him. You're cursed when you rationalize your behavior. I had every reason in the book not to go to church. You had a few hours? I'll give you all the reasons I had for not going to church. But that wasn't the course God had put me on. God put me on a course. He knew where He was leading me. He knew how many years it was going to take. It took a little longer because I kept getting off course. I'd get mad at this church. I'd get mad at what they said. I'd get mad at what was going on. I would get mad at the way they were doing things. After all, they didn't do things the way I thought they should be doing things. Never given thought that maybe they were doing what God wanted them to do. When did I become the expert? Churches are like snowflakes. There are no two churches alike. And I've said it many times, and I'll say it again. I thank God for every church in Lake Placid. In the days of Noah, it wasn't safe to walk down the street. You would be molested. Churches control the morality of the world. Without church, there would be no morality, and it would be a terrible war zone. No, they don't do it like I do it next door. They don't sing the music we sing. They sing from the hymnals. That don't make us right and them wrong, or them wrong and us right, or however you want to put it. They're doing it the way God showed them to do it. I'm doing it the way God showed me to do it. Why? We need different ways to track different people. I'm so happy our guests are here. I love seeing you here. You've blessed my heart today. But if you can't worship the way we worship and you want to worship from a hymnal, I'll walk you over there and introduce you. Because the most important thing is that your soul prospers and that you grow wherever it is you are. But we do it differently. And we got to find God. That's right. You don't go off on your own and walk straight along the road He set. Or you walk straight along the road He set. You, God, prescribe the right way to live. Now you expect us to live it. Oh, that my steps might be steady, keeping to the course You set. He will challenge you. Because the world has a lot to offer you that leads to your destruction, but it's fun. What God has to offer you requires sacrifice. Would require you to do things sometimes that you don't want to do. But it leads to eternal life, and it leads to prosperity. And prosperity preachers are condemned, I understand that. But I'm not going to lead you into poverty. And I don't believe God leads us into poverty either. So we set a course, we get off course, we set a course, we get off course. It's like shampoo, repeat and rinse, rinse and repeat. At some point, you got to be tired of being shampoo. I tell people all the time, the minute you start coming here, just come right over here and let me paint a target on your back. Because Satan has one desire to stop you from coming here. That's it. He's going to do everything he can do to get you mad at me. And you're going to get mad at me. Hang in there. You're going to do it. I'm going to get mad at you. Hang in there. It's going to happen. But are we family or are we not? Why do you expect it different here when it ain't any different in your own family? You ever get mad at your husband? Now, I know you do. Get mad at your wife? You betcha. But if your course is set, it ain't going to matter. But if you're a double-minded person, the big D's coming. Divorce. The Bible says a double-minded person should expect nothing from God. Then I'd never have any regrets in comparing my life with your counsel. I thank you for speaking straight from your heart. I learned the pattern of your righteous ways. I'm going to do what you tell me to do. Don't ever walk off and leave me. I want to be in the will of God so that he never leaves me. And people so misconstrue that scripture that says, I will never leave or forsake you. But understand that there are things God's not going to do. If you're going to walk into the strip club, God's not going in with you. He will wait on the outside till you're done, but he ain't going in with you. Now, that's an extreme example, because I don't even think Lake Placid has any strip clubs. Thank God. Praise God. But what I'm trying to tell you is I don't care what immoral activity you're involved in. I don't care what kind of sin you're involved in. Do not expect God to do it with you. He's holy. Heaven's a holy place. Why am I telling you that? Because you have to get to a place where you don't want God to ever walk off and leave you. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that because I'm smart enough to understand that God's not going to be with me if I do that. And I'm smart enough to know I don't want to be without God. It took me a long, long time to get there. But I just rather not. I don't want to go drinking with you. Why? I don't want God to walk off and leave me. I don't want to steal. I don't want to lie. Because I don't want God to walk off and leave me. So I've learned the righteous ways. And I'm going to do what God tells me to do. Even though it's going to upset people. I'm not trying to please people. I'm trying to please God. There's an old saying, I can't please all the people all of the time. Sometimes all those people come to my service. It's okay. I'm trying to please God. And to do that, I have to stay on the course He put me on. I often think sometimes Pastor Rick's a retired pastor, and he's really nice to me, really, 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 really nice to me. And I try to figure out, why is he so nice to me? Because he knows I'm being dragged through the mud like he was. He knows what I'm enduring because he endured it. He's the only one in here who knows. So he's nice to me. Always has a kind word. Never complains about nothing. Nothing. Not one complaint in all the time he's been here. Not one complaint. Now, you're speaking too loud, or you went on too long, or you're belaboring a point, or nothing. I know that he gets me. He gets that part that nobody else can get. Let me get off my rabbit trail. In Highlands County, approximately 17 out of every 100 students drop out of school. In Lake Placid, it's about 13 students out of every 100 drop out of school. And I teach the price that you pay now sets up the rest of your life. And I know what I'm talking about right now doesn't apply to all people, but you know what? We have an obligation to help young people stay on course. Let me tell you what quitters do. Quitters quit. If you're in college or high school, don't quit. Get serious. Stay on course. Because you're probably going to regret dropping out. But you will not regret graduating. A recent college dropout recently told me they only go out on Saturday nights, and they live at home because they don't make enough money to move out, even though they wish they could move out. And they plan on going back to school, but there's no plan in changing their course. And unless they change their course, it's going to get them the same results they got the last time. How about this? Go back to school. Get your degree. Develop some skills so that you can take care of yourself and you can live the life you want to live, and you don't have to be under anybody's thumb, and you can be free as much as you can be free. But to do that, let me tell you what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to set a new course. And you're going to have to stop going out on Saturday nights until you graduate. You're going to have to get off of YouTube. Get off of Facebook. Get off of Snapchat. Get off of TikTok. Get off of Twitter, X, and whatever else that keeps you distracted. And you're going to have to study for 3 hours a night. Every night, every night, every night. You're going to have to set a course, and you're going to have to pay the price if you want to reap the reward. Otherwise, you're going to fail again. And if you do that, then you can make more money. Then you can move out. Then you can achieve anything you want because you set a course for success. Proverbs 4:25 through 27 says this: let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thoughts to the paths for your feet, and be steadfast in all of your ways. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. These young kids don't graduate because they need God's blessing on their life to graduate. You need God's blessing on your life to do your job. And you can't get God's blessing when you're running around like an ant. And if you ever watched an ant, he does not go in a straight line. He goes in circles trying to get to where he's trying to go. Kind of dizzy by the time he gets there. Set a course and focus. And forget about what your flesh is saying to you. I love fasting. I hate fasting. Hate it with a passion. What, you can't be real in here? You got to be real in here. You're not going to get me on this stage saying, oh, how I love to fast. No, I love the results of a fast. I love what a fast does for me. Fast keeps my flesh down, keeps my spirit man up, and I can overcome anything my flesh wants to do because I know how to fast. A fast is to strengthen your spiritual person. I fast because my body says, no, you want this. I didn't want it before I started the fast. What changed? Oh, you fasted. Now all of a sudden you want this and you want that. Well, no. I'm stronger than that. And see, If you can fast, you can start telling your flesh, no. No, I'm not going out. I'm going to study. No, I don't care about having a boyfriend or a girlfriend right now. I got to get through this period of my life so I can become something, because I'm tired of being nothing. Ask Pastor Linda, ask Eugenia, ask anybody who's dedicated about the challenges that they face, about the criticism, the accusations. Every Sunday I look and say, wow, they made it back. Acts 20:24 says this, but I do not account my life of any value nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course in the ministry that I received from Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. You see, the minute they start thinking they're somebody, they won't make it. The minute they try to do what they do so people will love them, they're not going to make it. Because you're going to get criticized, and you're going to get abused, and you're going to get accused. And if you're doing it for glory, you're going to find there's very little of that to achieve. And all those people that are throwing all those accusations are the very ones that do nothing. Because people that do something know all about the challenges. They know all about the accusations. They know all about what you're going through, and they ain't throwing nothing. They've done had it for themselves. When you're walking on the beam, be careful who your spotters are. Because some don't want you on the beam. Misery loves company. But let me tell you something, success loves company as well. We were going over some examples in the Bible, and I want to continue. And I want to give you some more examples of people that didn't stay on course and what happened to them. And then when I'm done with that, I want to give you some examples of people in the Bible that stayed the course and what happened to them. Because there's a vast difference. I don't really like to get too personal, but God's telling me to get personal. Because God cares more about your character than your comfort. And I've been telling my daughter to stay on course for 6, 7, 8 years now. It's the only message I ever give her. Stay on course. And she never stays on course. And she's fighting the same battle today as she was 8 years ago. And longer. This is for you. Because you got to get on course. You got to set a course. You set the course. You and God set the course. Stay on it. And things will change. Life will change. You will change. And you're going to come back to me and you're going to say, I'm so happy I heard that message and I stayed on course. What's my first example, Pastor Linda? Genesis 19:17. As soon as they brought them out, one of them said, flee for your lives. Don't look back. Don't stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the mountains or you will be swept away. Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about Lot. Lot was in Sodom and Gomorrah, and he had a couple of angels that visited him. They took the appearance of men. So he did not know they were angels. He thought they were men. And Sodom and Gomorrah was an evil place. And many people think that Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed for their immorality. But in fact, they were destroyed for their lack of compassion. Yes, it was the most immoral place on the face of the earth. In fact, it was so immoral that the entire town gathered at Lot's house because they knew two strange men come into Lot's house and they knocked on the door and they did whatever they did and they caused all the commotion and they said, Lot, you give us those two men because we want to have sex with them. They wanted to rape them. And Lot said, I'm not giving them to you. So the angels told Lot, they said, you know what? We've come here to destroy this city. It's not going to be nothing left when we're done. But we'll tell you what, we're going to give you a chance. We're going to set a course for you and your family to get out before we destroy the city. Need to understand something. It's where we are today. We are no longer the majority. We are the remnant. Now, if you ask people, are you a Christian? Many will answer yes. But their lives don't indicate that they're Christians. Their lives indicate that they're immoral. And true Christians are the remnant, or what's left. And if you are a true Christian, what you gonna do when they come for you? When you have to make a stand or go with the flow? Lot made a stand. Set a course. But Lot and his family did not like the course. I don't have to like the course I'm on, but I have to stay the course. I would be happier in the seats than I am on the stage, but it's not my course. Told them, they said, flee to the mountains. But Lot didn't want to go to the mountains. He wanted to go to the next town over. Genesis 19:26. They told him not to look back. And Lot's wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. You know what it makes me wonder? When we don't listen to God, what do we turn into? When we don't stay our course, where do we end up? Where would I be today if I didn't get on course and stay there? I know where I would be today. In jail or dead. Because that's the course I was on. I was on a very bad course. I don't want to look back. Because I don't know what I will turn into. I don't want to look back. Because I don't want what that's going to get me. I'm going to keep moving forward. In spite of the criticism, in spite of the accusations, in spite of people being upset with me, in spite of not pleasing people, in spite of everything that's going to happen to me, I got to go forward. Many times we're like Saul. We do what God says, only we do it with compromise. 1 Samuel 15. Samuel said to Saul, "I'm the one the Lord sent to anoint you king over his people Israel. So listen now to the message from the Lord." Israel wanted a king. God didn't want them to have a king, but they wanted a king. So he gave them Saul. Move on. This is what the Lord Almighty says. "I will punish the Amalekites for what they did to Israel when they waylaid them as they came up from Egypt. Now go attack the Amalekites and totally destroy all that belongs to them. Do not spare them. Put to death men and women, children and infants, cattle and sheep, camels and donkeys." In other words, I'm going to save you from destruction. And this is important because you've got to ask yourself, what is it you have to destroy that's in your life? What do you have to put to death? And you know what God's telling you? You don't get to choose what to keep and what to destroy. You've got to destroy it all. You don't get to choose, well, I'm going to compromise and keep this immoral friend and still have success. All my friends have one thing in common. They're going to stay out of my way while I serve God. And you know why they all have that in common? Because I got rid of all the friends who didn't think like that. All my friends know where I'm going to be Sunday morning. Many of them are here today. I got my friends coming in, flying in next week. Praise God. My 50-year-old friends, they're not 50 years old, they're older, but they've been my friends for 50 years. Tim and Ron, you all know them. You know why you know them? Because on Sunday, they know where they're going to be. On Wednesday night, they know where they're going to be. That's why you know them. They know if they're going to hang out with me, if they're going to be my friends, they're coming to church with me. It's not an option. I ain't skipping church to go hang out with them. Not happening. They know that. That's why they're still my friends. If that wasn't okay with them, it was nice knowing you. Because I will put God first. And I will continue to put God first for the rest of my life. Now, these are the same guys. You don't even want to know the stuff we used to do. We knew how to get in trouble. We knew what we weren't supposed to do and knew how to do it well. But see, God said, do not spare them. Don't spare them. Let them go. Let them go. They mean you destruction. They're going to destruct you. They're going to cause destruction in your life. Now, does that mean ignore them? No. You don't have to ignore those who cause destruction in your life, but you have to make a stand. It's this way or it's no way. It's your choice. It's Ron and Tim's choice whether they're going to come see me or not. That's their choice. But I'm not looking back. I'm moving forward. They're coming with me. So we see somewhere. That's not what happened. What's the next scripture? Saul attacked the Amalekites all the way from Havilah to Shur near the eastern border of Egypt. He took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive. What? Is that what God told you to do? And all his people he totally destroyed with the sword. In other words, he killed them all like God said, except for the king, he kept him alive. We want to compromise. We want to do 99% of what God tells us to do, but we don't want to give him that last 1%. But Saul and the army spared Agag and the best of the sheep and the cattle, the fat calves and the lambs, everything that was good. We're going to follow God, but we're still going to smoke some dope. We're going to follow God, but we're still going to lie. We're going to follow God, but we're still going to take advantage of somebody if we can. I see it all the time in business. People come in, they try to make a job. And Pastor Marjorie was reminding me of a job I had. And we had a problem with the automatic gate opener, and we called the service company in. And they were going to tear up the entire driveway to replace the lines. Because that's what was wrong with the gate. And I said, no, I don't think we're going to do that. Let's change this processor over here. They changed the processor and the gate worked fine. The difference was about $10,000. They wanted to make take advantage of ignorance, only I wasn't ignorant. They didn't know I was hired to oversee the gates. Not just that gate per se, but the gates of the house to make sure nobody took advantage. What are you unwilling to destroy completely? God said destroy it all. God said come out from them. Come out. My time is up. I've got to stop. We'll pick up on this next week. But you're going to find out that it didn't end well for Saul. The worst news I could give you God's not looking for a Christian who's neither hot nor cold. He says, I'll spit you out of my mouth. He's looking for somebody to get committed, somebody to get on course, and somebody to live their life in such a way that somebody else could see them and want to know who Jesus is. That's all I want from my life. Somebody to look and say, that looks good to me. Let me try that. Because you got a model. I told you the story this morning. God's the supervisor, but you got to do the work. I want to be like Claudine. I want to be committed like she is. Don't you want somebody to say that about you? I need to go to church because I need to see what she's into because something's right about this. They see Tamara at work, all bubbly and happy to be at work. Bubbly and go to Winn-Dixie and see what I'm talking about. And you know what? Straight up, I don't go to Winn-Dixie. Not my favorite shopping place. How do I know what I'm talking about? Because people come and tell me. I went to Tamara's line, and she's all bubbly and happy, and she's telling people about the church, and she's telling people about God, and she's doing this, and she's doing that, and she's compassionate, and she cares. And I don't hear that from her. She's never told me a thing. I hear it from other people that go into Winn-Dixie. Like, yep, that's my daughter. Doing what I taught her to do. Doing what she's supposed to do. She set a course. And I don't even have a half hour to go through her blessings. But I do know this. There's a brand new truck in the parking lot that I ain't never seen before. That she drove here in. where's mine? That's not what I'm saying. That's what God's saying to you. You want blessed. Where's mine? Where's mine? Are you living for me? Are you showing people my love? I love you. Get on course. Stay on course. Prayer team, come up. If you find yourself spent off course, maybe you need to invite Jesus into your life. Lord, I need to find the course. Or maybe you know Jesus, but you've been letting yourself get off course little by little. God is the greatest restorer you'll ever find. God, help me get back on course. I just want to be on course for you. I want to live the way you want me to live. I want to do what you want me to do. I want to be there for you. You've always been there for me. Let me be there for you. I need to be a light. I need to attract people to the kingdom. I need to be that attraction. God has so much for you to do. Father, we thank you. Set our course. And help us not to stray in the name of Jesus.